We're going to read from 2 Peter chapter 2 this morning.
I'm reading from the Church Bible. If anybody wants to follow, it's 953, page 953, 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach their destructive heresies about God, and even turn against their master who bought them. Theirs will be a swift and terrible end. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of them, Christ and his true way will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction is on the way. For God did not spare even the angels when they sinned. He threw them into hell, in gloomy caves and darkness until judgment day. And God did not spare the ancient world, except for Noah and his family of seven. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. Then God destroyed the whole world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Later, he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into heaps of ashes and swept them off the face of the earth. He made them an example of what will happen to ungodly people. But at the same time, God rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a good man who was sick of all the immorality and wickedness around him. Yes, he was a righteous man who was distressed by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. So you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while punishing the wicked, right up until the day of judgment. He's especially hard on those who follow their own evil, lustful desires and who despise authority. These people are proud and arrogant, daring even to scoff at the glorious ones, without so much as trembling. But the angels, even though they are far greater in power and strength than those false teachers, never speak out disrespectfully against the glorious ones. These false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, who are born to be caught and killed. They laugh at the terrible, terrifying powers they know so little about, and they will be destroyed along with them. Their destruction is their reward for the harm they have done. They love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. They revel in deceitfulness while they feast with you. They commit adultery with their eyes, and their lust is never satisfied. They make a game of luring unstable people into sin. They train themselves to be greedy. They are doomed and cursed. They have wandered off the right road and followed the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved to earn money by doing wrong. But Balaam was stopped from his mad course when his donkey rebuked him with a human voice. These people are as useless as dried up springs of water or as clouds blown away by the wind, promising much and delivering nothing. They are doomed to the blackest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting. With lustful desire as their bait, they lure back into sin those who have just escaped from such wicked living. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves to sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. And when people escape from the wicked ways of the world by learning about our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up with sin and become its slave again, they are worse off than before. It would be better if they had never known the right way to live than to know it and then reject the holy commandments that were given to them. They make these proverbs come true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a washed pig returns to the mud.
Well, there's a cheery reading for us. Let's pray. Father, speak your word to us, we pray. Help us to hear what you have to say to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I put a title on this morning's sermon, which was, Who Should I Listen To? And that's a big deal in the church today. Peter wrote this letter to these people because people were moving in on the church and he did not want them to listen to them. These people were trouble. You know, the Bible tells us that we should love our enemies. It doesn't tell us that we should listen to them if they're seeking to lead us astray. So Peter is giving these people a warning. Today, the issue that we have is there are so many voices telling us what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. How are we meant to work out who is worth listening to and who is not worth listening to? It's a difficult one. There is a Christian TV channel on Freeview, and if you've got Sky or Virgin, you will have loads of Christian TV channels. How do you know? You go on the internet and people are blogging all over the place. How do you know who to listen to? It simply is not possible, even if it were wise, for me to listen to everybody and to say who I thought you should listen to and who you shouldn't. So Peter is saying to these people, these guys who are coming are trouble, and you will easily be able to work it out. Okay, let's just remind ourselves where we've got so far in 2 Peter. In the first half of chapter 1, we learnt that God's power has given us everything we need so that we can live a godly life. So there's a good test of leadership. If there is no evidence that somebody is leading a godly life, then don't listen to them. If they don't know how to take God's power, and if they're not allowing God's power to change them, then they probably don't have much useful to say about God. And because God has this power, Peter urges us in the first half of chapter 1 to say, make every effort to put your faith into practice. And he lists a whole load of qualities that he wants us to be working on. And top of the list, as always in the New Testament, is love. That's what we're really aiming for. So if we are say, well, who should we be listening to? Is there evidence of love within their life? We're not asking for perfection here. Nobody's perfect. You will always find some reason to disagree with somebody or to say, well, they could do this better or they could do that better. But is there evidence that these people are seeking to put their faith into practice? Are they adding qualities of goodness and knowledge and self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and above all, love within their lives? In the second half of the chapter, Peter is reminding them that he has a right to talk about Jesus. He says, I didn't give you a made-up story. I told you what I knew. I told you what I experienced. I actually saw him on the mountain. We were thinking about this at the all-age service last week. I saw him on the mountain at the time when he became dazzlingly white. And when I saw him like this, I heard the voice coming from the majestic glory. This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Peter says, I didn't make that up. And he goes on to talk about the scriptures and how prophets spoke because the Spirit of God inspired them. You can listen to people like that. You can listen to people like Peter, because he knows what it is to encounter Jesus. We can listen to writers like Paul. This will come up next week. in our Bible reading. You can listen to Paul because he met the Lord Jesus. And from the day that he met the Lord Jesus, he sought to put into practice what Jesus had been teaching him. So there's two key truths. One is faith, build upon your faith. Are people building on their faith in the right sort of way? And secondly, are they teaching what we've been given, or are they making it up? These people were failing in all sorts of areas. The first one, Peter says, they are making up stories. They're not telling you about Jesus as he actually was. They've got their own ideas. So one of the things that we can do when we are listening to somebody who is talking about Jesus is to say, is this person consistent with what we read in the Bible about Jesus? Because if not, they're just making up a story. If not, it's just their ideas, or maybe they're copying somebody else's ideas. Now, a word of caution here, that doesn't mean that we should instantly reject everybody that we disagree with. Sometimes we will hear things and we will think that is really strange, but when we actually look at it in proper detail, we'll realize these people are onto something. Even Jesus himself, people said, oh, he's got a demon on him. People thought that Jesus didn't represent God properly. People thought that Paul was insane, it says at one point. People thought Jesus was out of his mind. People thought that Peter, when he went into the house of Cornelius, was breaking every rule that God had ever given. So we shouldn't rush to condemn people who say things that are different to us. Let's have hearts and minds that are open to what the Scripture says, and let's allow the Scriptures to speak to each one of us. The Scripture isn't just here to tell us what we already think we know. It's here to teach us a whole load of wonderful and amazing things, and new truths are forever breaking out of it. But these people who were coming to this church that Peter is writing to were people who were just making it up. And we need to be wise. There are some people who write books, Christian books, who are just making it up. There are some people on television who are just making it up. And we need to be wise in what we listen to. Because, you know, the truth is really wonderful. We don't need stuff to be made up for us. The truth is that Jesus came to the earth. The truth is that Jesus died for us. The truth is that Jesus is alive today. The truth is that Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit upon his people. The truth is that Jesus is returning. You don't need to add to this truth. You don't need to make it different. You don't need to make it more exciting. It's there and it's real and it's for us. And praise God, it's been faithfully preserved for us from the people who met with him originally. Peter says these people deny the sovereign Lord. So check out the stories of people who tell you about Jesus. In the book of Acts, there are a group of people in a place called Berea, and Paul comes to them, and Paul teaches them about Jesus, and he explains to them what the Scriptures teach about Jesus. And it says in the Bible, these people were honorable because after Paul had spoken, they opened the Scriptures and they checked to see whether what Paul was saying was true. Don't just believe something because I say it. Don't just believe something because someone on the television says it. Believe something because we've looked at the Scripture to see what the Scripture actually says. And let's treasure those who are working hard at seeking to help us understand what the Scripture is saying. But these people who are coming to this church, they weren't just people who were making the odd mistakes. These were people who had huge character problems. And here I want to say something about some aspects of church life which you may not find the most exciting. Safeguarding. Financial accountability. How do we deal with complaints? I mentioned that one because at the next PPP meeting coming up in September, we're going to ask you to pass a new complaints policy for the church. It's important that we work out exactly the right ways that we should be handling these. Data protection. Peter doesn't write about that, but it's a really live issue for us today. Health and safety issues. Because the truth is, these issues matter. And we are together as a family. We want together to honour the Lord Jesus. That's why, you know, when we gather together, sometimes it gets called a business meeting. I'm not sure that's a good word for it at all. What we're actually seeking to do is to say, how are we going to be together as a family? How are we going to behave together as a family? How are we going to make sure as a church that we are accountable to each other? These meetings, the PPP, the church meeting, or whatever you call them, they're not meant to be optional extras for church members. They're meant to be an essential part of our church life. But we are seeking the way God is leading us and making sure that we have the safeguards in place to stop the things happening that Peter is writing about in this chapter. Peter is saying, these guys want to rip you off. These guys want your money. That's the problem. That's the reason they make up their stories. That's why it matters as a church that we present accounts. Now, I know for most of us, presenting accounts is not the most exciting bit of our church life. But believe me, there are churches that don't do that sort of thing, where people have been siphoning off the money and the church just let it happen because there were no proper safeguards in place. Peter is saying, these guys are greedy, they want your cash, you must not give it to them. Don't let them trick you. Don't let them con you. It's why as well that things like adults at risk policies matter. One of the things in the adults at risk policy is about having policies for what we do financially. The government has recognised that financial abuse of older people is a key issue. Oh, I'm sure these people would love to get the older people in the church who've got money to put money to them in their will. Peter says, don't fall for it. They're tricking you. When we say as a church that we want to follow policies, we're not doing it because we're legalists. We're not doing it because we want to be under some sort of law. We're doing it because we together want to follow Christ. We do not want to fall into the big hole that 2 Peter is warning us about. Peter says these people, by their behavior, they bring the church into disrepute. And every time there is a scandal in the church, every time something goes wrong, the church gets brought into disrepute and people look at the church and they say, whoa, why should we go there? You're no better than anybody else. Peter says, don't fall for it. Be a church that is alert to these things. It says, Peter describes them, and this isn't the literal word that he used, but this is the modern word that we would use. Peter says, these people are sexual predators. You know, if Peter was describing the UK church today, he'd say, you know, they're the people and they're going to try and get onto your Sunday school team so that they can get to the children. They're going to try and find the women or the men that they can chat up and so that they can get them and have their wicked way with them. And if we think that that sort of thing never happens in church, we're just being naive. Peter says, look at these guys who are coming. You can see that they're making it up. You can see what they're trying to do. You know, things like having proper ratios in our children's work of helpers to children matter. It's not something that we can have a little laugh at if we don't do one Sunday. They are absolutely vital to our life as a church. And one of these cases where submitting to the law of the land, I believe, is actually submitting to God's holy law as well. These are people who they have eyes full of adultery. It's translated in my Bible here as they seduce the unstable. Perhaps a better phrase to use the language we would use today is they prey on the vulnerable, or they prey on those who are at risk. What else does Peter say about them? He says they are slanderers. They talk people down. They find fault with people. They pick what is wrong in other people. They twist it. They make it worse than it actually is. They're not encouragers. Peter would say to these people, I'm an encourager. I want God's best for you. I think that God loves you. I know God loves you. I think that God wants to do a great thing in your life. I believe, he says at the beginning of this letter, that God's power has given you everything that you need for a divine, for a godly life. I believe that if you work at putting the right sort of character into practice, that you're going to have an effective Christian life, that you're going to have a productive one. I believe that's what God says to us as well. God is not in the business of slander. God is not in the business of telling his church that it's no good. Peter says, these people, they even slander angels. I mean, how crazy? How crazy can you get? They've left the straight way. They've wandered off. And remember that when Peter talks about those virtues in chapter 1, it's love that is top of the list. Love is always top of the list in terms of character. What else does Peter say about them? He says that they are slaves. To use a modern equivalent word, they are addicts. They are stuck in bad behavior. They don't know the way out of it. And here's the really bad thing, that they have had some sort of a taste of the gospel. They have had some taste of meeting the Lord. What they say is not entirely made up, although most of it is. But they've had some taste of meeting the Lord. But instead of doing what Peter said in chapter 1, of working on their character and believing in God's power to change them, they've just gone back to all the things that they used to do. And they are addicted to all sorts of disgusting behavior. The dog returns to its vomit, as Peter so wonderfully puts it, but in a way that needs to be said. So what do we do about this? Well, one thing that Peter would say to us is don't panic. The fact that this is in Scripture tells us that these things are always going on. Be wise. Check out who you're listening to. Check out to see whether they are of the right sort of character or not. And within the church, certainly Paul would say, if Peter doesn't say it here, pick leaders who will represent the church well. Pick people who are actually able to say, yeah, I'm not perfect, but I know that Christ is at work in me. But don't panic, Peter says, because God knows how to deal with this. God knows how to hold people for judgment. God knows how to bring people down. And when the scandals get exposed, God does it yet again. Peter says these people promise freedom, but what they actually give you is captivity. So Peter points us again to Jesus, and he says, here's where freedom is. Freedom comes from faith in him. Here are some things that are true from the Bible, that when we come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, he forgives us. When we come to Jesus and we need to know his love, he loves us. No matter what there is in our past, don't listen to the voice that would slander you. Don't listen to the voice that would talk you down, because that's not the voice of Jesus himself. Well, next week we'll go on and we'll try and understand a bit more about what Peter wants them to do. But don't panic. Stay close to the Lord. Trust the Lord to deal with things that he needs to deal with. But be careful who you listen to. Let's pray together. Father, we pray you'd make us wise. Father, help us to discern the voices we should be listening to and the voices we shouldn't. And we pray that you would protect us from harm today. We pray you'd protect us as a church. We pray you would protect the church in this country and the church in the world. Father, don't lead us into the hands of people who would be out to exploit us. Father, we pray you'd help us that we would really find the truth of Christ. As Peter saw on the mountain that day when the voice came from heaven and said, "This is my son. With him, I'm well pleased." Lord, give us what we need today, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.